Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
We are back, and you are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I am Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are speaking with Nathan Schneider about our sense of community in society today, and we invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That is 1-888-322-8465. Call in and let us know your thoughts on community and the many ways it is lived out today. So Nathan, before the break, we mentioned wanting to talk a little bit about Baltimore, and I wonder if we could frame it in the context of community as well. And you've mentioned, you've written in some of your columns that there's kind of a cooperative renaissance going on in the U.S. today. And I wonder if you see this sort of new emphasis on community, or maybe renewed emphasis on community, playing out in how we approach race relations in terms of what's going on in Baltimore or many other cities across the country.
Well, there's so much. I think it is really important to, you know, to recognize the role of community and of especially the economic constitution of community at work here. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in the D.C. area. You know, I grew up going to Baltimore a lot. And in Baltimore, as in D.C., the inequities were just so viscerally apparent. The violence was so on display every day, the violence that people were living as the structures of their lives. You know, so when we see images of you know, cars getting destroyed and this kind of property damage type of violence, to me, it just seems continuous with that. And there's been a long history, too, of Black communities in the U.S. Trying to resist by creating economic autonomy, by creating, you mentioned the cooperative movement, by building cooperatives of, you know, mutual aid and mutual support. There's a really important new book that just came out documenting this history called Collective Courage that is really, really an incredible testament to the struggles that African Americans have endured and waged in order to build, you know, not just civil rights, you know, not just the right not to be assaulted by police officers, but the kind of economic strength, you know, that allows them to assert all other rights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's an important part of the conversation. And I hope that this, you know, that this doesn't just become about, you know, who broke what, mm-hmm. you know, and what one cop or another did or didn't do, but that it gets to the kind of deep everyday violence that, you know, is a part of the fabric of this society.
And I agree with you entirely. And I wonder if you hear from some of your friends and family what I hear, right, which is... yes, Matt, we understand all of that. But, you know, this is about people making moral choices, and they're making bad choices, and, you know, they're participating in this violence. And, you know, no matter how bad a system is, they still have that choice about whether to be a part of this. And, you know, it's something I think, you know, you hear from people who are generally, you know, open-hearted and I think, you know, wanting the best for others. But I wonder how you respond to that, you know, because it's a way of saying, you know, well, yes, there is injustice in the world, and yes, it's systematic, but, you know, people don't have to be killing each other, people don't have to be looting and all this sort of thing. And, you know, I wonder how you respond to that.
I mean, I think a first question is that, you know, is that old question that has been echoed in a different context by Pope Francis. You know, we kind of have to begin as Christians with asking, who am I to judge?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, this we know enough to know that there are circumstances involved here motivating these acts. We don't, you know, we aren't there for many of them. We're not seeing them take place. And we also
right,
have
we
to
only tune in when the when something like
exactly,
this happens. Right?
Exactly, and I think we also have to tune in, you know, as you say, to the ways in which these structures affect us every day. You know, I come from a set of families who were not here during slavery, right? Who were not in the United States until the early 20th century. But I still know that every day my life is affected by racism and by the consequences of the American history. And I think we have to recognize that. We have to recognize the ways in which our lives are daily impacted by the prejudices that we do or don't experience. And, you know, one question that seems really key to me is, where can we find repentance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the call of John the Baptist, you know, before the coming of Christ, before the ministry of Christ. How can we learn how to repent again?
Right.
You know, and you hear these defensive reactions, you know, from defenders of the police, from defenders of people who are engaged in looting. You know, everyone is trying to claim a kind of innocence.
Right.
You know, and I wonder what would happen if we maybe all of us were to give that up for a second and say, there's a stain on all of us. There are demonic forces at work in all of our lives.
And I'm glad you mentioned John the Baptist, because it's, you know, we know the story of John the Baptist in the wilderness calling on people to repent. But it's not just an individual repentance that he's calling people to repent of your own individual sins. He's calling on the people of God to repent of their sins as a community, right? Namely, this very wrong idea about what God is doing and is about to do in the world that they were clinging to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, my father's family is Jewish. And you know, in the Jewish world, in the Jewish mind, you know, worldview, that sense of collective responsibility is so crucial, because the Bible is always talking to the Jews as a people. And I think there's a sense in which that, you know, in which we lose that. And individual responsibility is so important. And I think actually the Christian revelation emphasizes that in a new way. You know, but a witness that I think of, for instance, is you know, in the 50s and 60s, a relative of my wife, an ancestor of my wife, who was a Catholic woman, was part of a group that was involved in arranging home visits between white and black families in Chicago. You know, and they were scrutinized by the FBI for doing this. This was very, very dangerous work.
Right.
But her faith called her, on the one hand, to do organizing among white people to understand the ways in which racism was impacting their lives. And then in her day-to-day choices to courageously step across the lines that our society draws. So I think actually that repentance, that recognition of collective, of the demonic forces around us, allows us and can empower us to make courageous choices in our personal lives.
Right, and it really deepens what we mean when we talk about community, because I think it's easy to look at my community is this group of people around me who offers a certain amount of protections or from whom I get certain things and benefits, and I have to put up with some things that I, you know, are make it worth those benefits. But I think it's really like when I was a volunteer after college, I was in this volunteer program, and they talked about, you know, the people that we're living with in our individual communities were not just, you know, roommates who we happen to talk about social justice with. We were true community members, and that it requires a certain amount of being present. And I think if we transfer that to our society, it really influences how we act and how we truly treat each other. And Dorothy Day, in her autobiography, The Long Loneliness, writes about, you know, we cannot love God unless we love each other. And to love each other, we must know each other. And that's a really scary part about community, is that it calls us to know the people around us. And it calls us to be vulnerable. And that can be really challenging.
Oh, that's such a powerful thing. And that's something we overlook. You know, how we forget how much our society isolates us. You know, it there are certain people that we talk to in our day-to-day lives, and there are certain people that we don't. And this is so apparent here in New York City, where, you know, you're passing people from all walks of life all the time, but you also recognize, I'm not talking to all of these people. I'm not really knowing their experience. And the power, when those lines start to dissipate, as they often do for me every Sunday in church, you know, that's the place in my neighborhood where I really encounter people that I don't tend to encounter during the week, and that I get to check up on them, and they check up on me, and, you know, we hear about one another's experience. That was something, too, that I saw in Occupy Wall Street that I think was an incredibly transcendent experience, actually, for a lot of people, for a movement that didn't claim any kind of religious mantle. People experienced it as a kind of sacred thing, not so much in the ways that, you know, it may or may not affect policy or something like that, but in just the novelty of how it brought people together, mm-hmm. how it created this space where, for some reason there, people felt a license to talk to people that they wouldn't normally talk to because of this common experience.
Well, we have, as everybody knows, we have Pope Francis coming to the States in the autumn for an historic trip. What do you think he should say to the people of the United States in light of your own experience, your own work?
Well, that's up to him. I wouldn't presume to tell the Pope what to say.
We do it all the time in America.
actually, I think sometimes one of the things to remember is as much as we hear, as much as we're excited about the Pope's coming and about a lot of the things that he's doing and saying right now, is that the Pope is not our faith.
Right.
And I think there can sometimes be a danger for, you know, whether we're excited about what the Pope is saying or we're not excited about what the Pope is saying, to confuse the two.
Right.
And we have to put those in perspective. But, you know, I've got to say right now, there's some really important stuff happening right now that he's leading, especially around climate change. And I think it's going to be a very delicate, very challenging visit, but it could be, the most important one in recent memory.
Yeah. And migration, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he would be happy for you to point that out, that he's like, no, you're right, I'm not the faith. You know, Jesus is the central part of our faith, and he uses whatever attention is directed toward him to direct everyone back to Christ. And I think a lot of his papacy has been about being a member of community. You know, mm-hmm. He's not saying, here I am directing this kind of anonymous church from on high, but I'm right alongside you, shepherd who smells like sheep, like he talks about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're right. It does start where we are, right? That's what church is immediately to us. And one of the things that I think is really important in what you said is that you go to church in your neighborhood, right? I have always thought, I mean, people have a lot of reasons for traveling to go to church, but, you know, if you can, I've always thought it was really important to go in your neighborhood, wherever it is that you are, you know, to interact with this group of people that you... If you're going to choose to go to church, you can't avoid interacting with them, right?
Yeah.
And there's something really important about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's an art to community, and one of the ways that my wife Claire and I have found to kind of manage our needs and meet our needs is you know, going to a church that's diverse and that is often challenging us. And then also to make sure to have a kind of core group of people that we meet with also with whom we really share a lot of values and experiences. And, you know, kind of going back and forth between the two is a really, really enriching dynamic.
Well, we have a few minutes left. I wonder if you could let us know what it is you're thinking about now, what it is you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing a lot of stories about ways in which people are pushing the boundaries of democracy in everyday life. And when we talk about democracy in a Catholic context, you know, I think, you know, we also have to talk about dignity and participation. You know, how is it that in our everyday lives, in our work lives, in our family lives, in how we play, we can grow in a sense of our own dignity and participation. So a lot of what I've been doing is looking at ways in which people are changing the way they work, because this is how a lot of us spend most of our time. You know,
yeah.
How can we have more control over our workplaces? We claim to live in a democracy, but for many of us, we have very little control over most of the hours of our lives, because that's where we work, and those workplaces often control, you know, our healthcare, our possibility of retiring, and I think that there's a question that's not being asked nearly enough there about why these spaces aren't more democratic, why we don't have more power, more participation, and more dignity there.
And we should also note that your book, God and Proof, The Story of a Search from the Ancients to the Internet, is coming out in paperback soon.
Yes,
is that
absolutely.
Right?
That's right. It should be available in the next few weeks or month or so. I'm not sure exactly when.
And the thing that I liked about that book is that you understand after reading it why ideas matter, why philosophy matters, because, you know, these ideas are not just, you know, abstract forms, but we embody them in important ways. And so be sure to check that out if you're looking for a good read. And, of course, you can find all of Nathan Schneider's work for America at americamagazine.org. And you can read him in his column in America Magazine. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Nathan Airplane. Where does that come from?
Maybe I'll remain silent.
Okay, all right, fair enough. or his website, therowboat.com. I thought it had some more, a bigger meaning.
I like modes of transportation.
You got boats and planes.
Apparently, right. So,
thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.